All right, you guys. So, how many feel encouraged after talking to your neighbor? Isn't it nice to kind of talk about stuff, you know, and get it out there? And by the way, I'm glad I'm looking this way because the left on the holy bowl today is really nice right there. It's really distracting. So if you're looking over there, I know what you're looking at because there's a left right off the tower. Yeah. Okay, well, good morning. I'm wrapping up our discussion on prayer that's been going on for about 6 weeks. And we've been laying a foundation for our little church here. This is the second anniversary of Church on the Beach year-round. So praise God for that. Last year we had a cake and we didn't think about it because last night was our big party for Kate. And so there it is. Happy anniversary. Okay. So, but we're doing what we discovered just by opening up the book of Acts chapter 2, that it's the ingredients for a healthy church. You know, what do we do to have a healthy church? And we got stuck at Acts 2:42 because we found that the new believers were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were fellowshipping, breaking bread together, and they were praying. So we stopped at the word prayer, and we've been investigating that word. What is prayer? So it's taken us 6 weeks. And I was about to leave prayer. Maybe some of y'all were praying for the next step. But I felt like God wanted us to talk about listening to Him. But before I go on to that, I heard a really cool story or interesting story. I don't know if you'll think it's cool, but I thought it was interesting. From Chuck Swindoll, I listened to him in the mornings on the way back from Malibu or Topanga. He's my morning wake-up preacher guy. I love listening to him. Plus, he's a Texan, so he has great stories. But he said he was at a Moody Institute in Chicago, and he was talking to this group of people, and this woman came up to him, and she wasn't married, and they were talking about prayer, and she said, you know, I just want to let you know what I'm doing. I'm praying for a husband, so I've been hanging a pair of trousers at the end of my bed and praying that God will fill them. And so he thought, well, that's such a good story, so he came home back to Dallas, to Plano, it's Frisco, and he squeezed it into his sermon because he thought it was so funny, you know? And then later, someone came up to him and said, I just need to talk to you about my son because he heard your message, and right now he has a bikini hanging at the foot of his bed. And praying for a girl to fill that one. So, anyway, I thought that was funny. So we've been talking about how to talk to God, right? So I want to talk today about how to listen to God. How do we hear what God is saying to us? So the first point in your notes, I'll get right to it, is that God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us. Now, not necessarily in an audible voice, although I have heard of situations where someone heard an audio voice of the Lord. And in fact, my wife did. I've talked about it before, how she was in her little Isuzu Jeep and she heard the Lord say, you're going to marry Ross Russell. And she pulled over and said, well, what if I don't want to? And I'm glad she decided to. But it was a very unique situation. That's not the normal. But God can do that. He can do whatever He wants. We know that He talked through a donkey in the Old Testament to Balaam. He can speak through whoever He wants to. He can make an audible voice, all kinds of things. I want to look at Isaiah 20, 31 right now. Actually, 30, 21. I have that backwards. It's 30, 21. And if you look at this verse in the Old Testament, this is a cool scripture that talks about what kind of voice He's going to speak to us in and how He's going to speak to us. And He's talking to Israel and He's telling them that when I speak to you, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, wherever you turn to the right or to the left. And, you know, throughout the Old Testament, God is trying to win Israel's heart. So often they're running out after other gods. He was trying to keep them with Him. And so He's speaking through the prophet Isaiah to listen for that voice telling you which way you should go. And so it takes listening to hear that. And then if you look in the New Testament, in John 10, John, if you'll turn to John 10, starting in verse 14, by the way, before I go any further, I want to pray about this message on prayer. Lord, I just pray, dear Jesus, that you will help us to understand your word, that you'll help us to apply the word, that when we walk away today, we'll be equipped to love people in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So here, this is the parable of the Good Shepherd. So starting with verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. That's a key right there, is that when we know Jesus, then we'll hear him. Verse 15, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. And they will hear my voice. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. And then if you skip over to verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So he wants us to hear him. And we have to learn to recognize his voice. Because there's lots of voices trying to speak to us, aren't there? And we have our conscience. Sometimes it's you know, a little hard to discern whether it's just you speaking to yourself or if it's the Lord speaking to you. The best way to check this is making sure it's matching Scripture. It will be confirmed in other situations because, as I'll say again later, God wants to speak to us more than we actually want to hear him speak to us. Because a lot of times we're a little hesitant to fully surrender to what he has for us. But whatever he has for us is good. But he says, my sheep will hear my voice. And then number two in your notes, God speaks in the stillness. I've been in 1 Kings lately, and I've been reading about Elijah, and he had that big event up with the prophets of Baal where he challenged them and to call on their gods to start this big fire up on the mountain, and their gods wouldn't do it. And he told them, well, maybe he's busy. You know, maybe he's, you know, not available right now. And they were slashing themselves and trying to cut themselves and dancing and screaming, and it wouldn't light. And then he had them pour water all over the fire when he did his, and he called on the name of the Lord, and instantly it just lit. And then all these prophets were slain by him, these false prophets. And so now he has run away from Jezebel, because now they've heard about this and they want to kill him because he killed the prophets. So he went and hid in a cave. And it's kind of like, you know, he's running away. Kind of reminds me of the Jonah story at this point. He's running away. He went from bold and trusting in the power of God to now running and fearful. So isn't that how it is in life? One moment we're really bold. The next moment we're fearful. And we have to go back to the Word and we have to be reminded of his truths. So says in verse 9 in 1 Kings 19. So if you turn to 1 Kings 19, verse 9, says, he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Like he didn't know, right? What are you doing here? Remember how God spoke to Adam? Adam, what are you doing? You know, well, God knows. But he's asking him this because he wanted to see how he was going to respond to him. He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance to the cave. So where was his voice? It was not in the earthquake, right? It was not in the fire. It was in the gentle blowing. The gentle blowing in the stillness. And that's when he went out, and behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword, and I am alone and left. They seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return," and gives him his commandment to do, you know, gives him his marching orders. But he had to wait on the Lord in the stillness to hear from him. And if you look at Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." First step is to be still. And we're not very still these days. I think the most still I'm ever is in traffic, sitting in my car, or in the line at the bank, right? Or the grocery store. That's when I check my emails. The rest of the time, we're just running around doing so much, aren't we? Of course, I have my quiet time in the morning. I'm talking about during the day when we're out and about. You know, I read a story online about listening, and I heard about a guy. They used to have ice houses where before they had refrigerators, they had these big, thick walls on a farm or something, and they put blocks of ice in it, and they would store all their meat in there, and it was called the ice house, and they'd shut the door real tight and keep all their stuff cold in there. And this guy lost his watch, and so he went into the ice house and found his watch, and they said, "Well, how did you find it?" He said, "I shut the door, and I lay down on the floor, and I listened for the ticking." Right? I listened for the ticking. So he got so quiet and so still so he could hear. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to get so still and so quiet that all we can hear is him. Sometimes all we can hear is a buzz, actually, because we listen to music and all these other things. You know what I'm talking about? I'll never forget going to Arches National Park one day in Utah. And I got out of the car after listening to music all the way across Utah and standing under these arches. And all I could hear was this, because I'm so used to noise. And then you get out in the quiet, and it takes a while to turn off the buzz, you know, to really hear the Lord. Now, getting to point number three, God speaks through different ways. He speaks through the Word. It's important to read your Bible every day. It's good to have some kind of a way you're going to go through the Scripture. Because we study the New Testament for Sundays, I go through the Old Testament right now. I'm in the First Kings. And I'm not checking off a bunch of squares. I'm just working my way through and reading for understanding. But I want to get it in me. I want to get the Word in me. So that way God can speak to me and give me a scripture, oftentimes that I've already read. Now sometimes He'll put a verse on my heart that I haven't read. And I'll look it up. I remember one when I was in Youth with a Mission as a missionary. He had me look up the verse. It says, "A smoldering wick I will not snuff out." I still remember that from 1995 in the Ukraine, 94. "A smoldering wick I will not snuff out." And I just felt like God was encouraging me at that time, though I'd been through, I was a wounded soul, that He wasn't going to completely snuff me out and break me. He was going to heal me. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, He has that gentle touch where we're broken, but He just takes us like a little bird and heals us and takes us in His hand, right? I remember also when I was in Hawaii as a missionary, pretty rough, right? Well, actually, it was one of my hardest times in my life in Hawaii because I had so much time to think. You know, my dad's friends back in the 70s used to say the hippies all sat around contemplating their navel, you know, doing drugs. And so, but as a missionary, I sat around with a little extra time trying to figure out what I was going to do in life. And I wasn't getting anywhere for a little while, and I got a lot of anxiety. And so I went through this period of panic attacks where I could hardly go to a restaurant without having to go outside. I would get claustrophobic feeling. How many know what I'm talking about? You just get real anxious. You don't have to admit it if you don't want to. But it was really scary, and I remember I went through this really hard time, and then the base director, who's also a surfer, sent me to this healing retreat on the Big Island, called it Healing for the Nations. And this woman was trained in psychology, and she took scripture and matched it with the ability to dig up stuff that was in your childhood, right? And so it was a really healthy exercise, and I've discovered all these terrible things I was reminded that happened in my childhood. And they said, well, that's what's bringing your anxiety. That's what's bringing your, it was, you know, involved abuse and, you know, and these kids threatened to kill me if I told anybody. I've told the story before. They said I was going to put me in a box and throw me off the Harbor Bridge if I told anybody in my hometown. So for like 10 or 12 years, I didn't tell anybody what they did to me. And so I was an anxious mess, and I realized that was a big part of it. And so they just laid hands on me in this big circle and prayed for me, and I must have cried for 30 minutes. Just laid it out. And God just did this deep roto-rooter, just going deep, you know, getting the snake, his loving snake into my life, in my heart, and healing me. A smoldering wick I will not snuff out, right? And then I felt so much better. Came back to Oahu, and I was laying on a bench, and I just, you know, I did the Bible roulette thing, which I don't always recommend. You know, open it up, and it says, and Judas hung himself. No, that's not the one you want to read, right? But I did open it up, and I went to Isaiah 26:3, which is my life verse, and he said, I will keep in perfect peace whose mind is set on thee, because he trusts in thee. And that's just what I needed to read, because I wasn't trusting God. I was leaning on my own understanding. And that was the beginning of my healing process, as he spoke to me through his word. And of all things, to cure my anxiety, God sent me back to L.A., and I began courting my wife, and he made me a middle school teacher. Now, I think that's so funny. I'm going to cure your anxiety by sending you into the inner city and have you teach sixth graders math. I would have never thought of that, would you? But it's been remarkable because I'm so busy with all these kids, I don't have any time to think about myself. And so I don't have anxiety. It's a paradox, isn't it? You would think you need to go to a quiet island and have tranquility, but that wasn't the answer. That's what was making me anxious. When I got busy in God's work, the anxiety went away. It's remarkable. So he speaks through his word. He also speaks through people. You know, getting guidance from God can be tricky since other people will tell you things that don't match what you think he's telling you. And it can create confusion. So it's important to ask for a confirmation. I remember when I was choosing what to do as a missionary, I really felt like I needed to surrender surfing for a period of time. And I applied for Last Days Ministries in East Texas that Keith Green started. And they said, you know, we really think you should go to Maui and be part of Surfers for Missions. I thought, okay, well, I was willing to surrender surfing. And at the same time, I had this little picture in my mind of going across country in a bus like the Partridge Family for Jesus with a guitar and just telling people about the Lord with flower power and everything, right? I just had this little dream of going across country and being a witness for Jesus. And Russia had just opened up because of Glasnost in 1992. And I had a desire to go to Russia and preach the word where the word had not been preached, right? So I made a decision to go to Maui to Surfers for Missions. And this girl came into my office at Hope Chapel. I was a graphic designer at that time. And she said, Ross, have you heard about the new YWAM school? And I said, no. She said, they're going to travel cross country in vans sharing Christ in the United States, and their outreach is in the Ukraine. I said, that's it. Thank you so much. And I said no to Maui, and I said yes to this group. And I drove to Oregon and put my surfboard in a closet and spent 3 months driving cross country, doing outreaches in rural America. And they went to Ukraine for 3 months and did ministry there. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And it was the Lord. And God used this girl to come talk to me and help me confirm what I thought he was telling me anyway. You see that? And then when I came back from the Ukraine, I went to Santa Barbara and I watched a Christian surfing video to kind of remind myself of how to surf. It had been 6 months, totally, my gills were all dry. I'm like, you know, didn't know if I could still surf. And I paddled out at Mesa Lane. My first wave, I got a little barrel. My second wave, I got a little ollie, a little air. And this little kid is watching, he's about 10 or 11. And he's, you know, how kids are with surfers. They're like, oh, that's cool, you know. And then I led him to the Lord right there. He received Jesus. Said, I want to receive Jesus in my heart. I want to go to heaven. I thought, thank you, Jesus. You gave me my surfing back. You know, it's like immediately confirmed. So, I still surf. So God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His people. You know, another really interesting thing happened, and I still don't know exactly if it was for real, but I'll let you make a decision. I was in Willmar, Minnesota, doing an outreach with YWAM on that trip for 3 months. And this guy came out of the auditorium, and he came up to me. I still remember his face, just right there. Dark hair, you know, fair skin. And he's like, an angel just spoke to me. And right away, I'm like, dude, that's cool. An angel just spoke to you? An angel just spoke to me and said, you're going to Africa. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. And I went back and told my team, and they're all, well, maybe you will go, but I don't think you should just go get a plane ticket right now. Just let God show you what He's going to do in your life. Well, since there, I've been there 5 times. I'm getting ready to go again on Monday. Isn't that interesting? So you never know what God's going to say to you. And then lastly, the thing I wanted to concentrate more on today is His voice. If you look in your notes, the last one is He speaks to us through His voice. And this takes time, like I said, for discernment and stillness and understanding what's the enemy's voice. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that'll say, can you believe that she did that? Can you believe, oh, they're talking about you. Did you hear them? Oh, that's not the Lord. The Lord, you know, in the morning, I'll say, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? And He'll say stuff like, love your wife. Okay, that's the Lord, right? Or, you know, or the other day, you know, I felt like He said, thank you for being faithful. Trust me, follow me. Just simple things like that, right? And, you know, a lot of this is just by faith, isn't it? Because is there any way to really verify every instance? No. But as long as it's matching Scripture and it's heading in the direction that God is already sending you, as people are speaking to you, as the Word is leading you, it'll all fit the big picture, right? And He wants to speak to us. We know that He is our good shepherd. We know that. And this has been very key in my life. Key moments in my life. I remember I was reading Crossing the Switchblade when I worked at USC at the height of the gang problem in 1987 when the movie Colors came out. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you have the answer. Oh, I have the answer for the gang problem. And so because I knew, I felt like He spoke to me, I started pursuing gang ministry. So for 2 years, I spent time talking to gang members around USC, and I lived down in Harbor City. And all that became this wonderful time in my life of working with kids and gang members and kids that are on the edge of being in a gang because of His voice speaking to me. I remember I went to a gang conference. Back then, they're having these big conferences about gangs. And I went to the Marriott, and all these different people had come to try to solve the gang problem in Los Angeles. And I remember there was about 300 people in one of those rooms at the Marriott, what do you call it, banquet rooms or whatever. And I just felt like, and they're trying to find the answer. Well, we don't know the answer. And I just felt like I had the answer. And I just remember just raising my hand and like this 300 people and standing up. You ever get that, like your pelvis starts like going because you're so nervous, right? You're standing up in a group of people. Well, that's what happened to me. I was so nervous. And I just say, yeah, I just want to let everybody know that the answer is Jesus. And they all looked at me like, what? Who let him in, you know? And it's like you could just like see my heart, a bomb, bomb, you know. I just, okay, guys. And I just sat back down, you know. But I knew He was the answer. And still, to this day, I know He's the answer. Years ago, I've told you this story before, but I love remembering it. I had a spring break that I wanted to spend in a fun way or a ministry way. And I thought, well, I should go to Hawaii or I should do ministry. I have a heart for Indians. I'd like to go out to Arizona or someplace, or maybe go to Hawaii and go surfing. You know, these are always decisions as a surfer. Serve the Lord or surf for the Lord, right? Or both. And so I told my friend who lived in Hawaii, and in the meantime, I was praying and I felt like the Lord said, I have Indians waiting for you in New Mexico. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, and see, I read this book here by Lauren Cunningham, Is That Really You, God? He's the one that started YWAM. And so much of their ministry has been driven by what he believed God was speaking to him about. And it's a really good book about how to hear from God and how it's worked out. And so I'm trying to do all this by faith, not to be weird or hocus pocus, you know, just, well, is that really you, God? Right? And so I told my friend Colin, I said, can you check on the airfare to Hawaii since he knew people there? And he said, well, it's not that great, but you know what? There's a great price to Albuquerque. And still to this day, when I tell this story, I feel like I'm making it up. I said, what'd you just say? He said, Albuquerque. You know, I was just praying and I felt like God wants me to go to New Mexico. Well, how did you come up with Albuquerque? It was really bizarre. So, but he did. So I believe by faith, God wanted me to go. And I got a hold of a friend of mine from Hope Chapel, Joseph Varela, who grew up in Pecos, New Mexico. And we flew to New Mexico by faith and said, Lord, what are you going to do? Let's see. This will be fun. So we sat at their table, and it was a really interesting home. His father actually won their house in a poker game. Have you ever lost your house in a poker game? Well, somebody lost their house because they had a new house. And so anyway, so I'm in their house, and we noticed that the Santo Domingo Pueblo was open to the public that day, and that was a way for white people, non-Indian people, to go into the reservation, right? So, well, let's go there. So we went in, and we're going through all the arts and crafts booths. And I remember I went to the church, the Catholic church, and they had stars and moons next to Jesus. And I thought, that's interesting. I think they're still worshiping something besides Jesus in here. And I asked the priest, I said, why do you have stars and moons next to Jesus? He said, I think you're asking too many questions. I'd like you to leave. Whoa, I'm so sorry, you know. So we did. We left, and we went outside, and we were going through the arts and crafts booths, and I see these kids acting all hard like they're gang members or their hats backwards, like, hey, what's up, you know? And so I talked to them. I said, hey, you guys, you need to get jumped into my gang, Jesus Christ Prayer Gangsters, JCPG, you know, because I'm not 13, I'm not 14, I'm 26, Holmes, I'm the whole alphabet. I'm Alpha Omega. I got worldwide backup. I don't fight with weapons of this world, with weapons of divine power that demolishes strongholds. Rifa Jesus. And they're looking at me like, dude, you're weird. No, I said, but seriously, the way you get jumped in to Jesus Christ Prayer Gangsters is to ask them into your heart, because you're sinners and you need a Savior, right? And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through Him. And this woman stuck her head through one of the tarps, and she said, praise the Lord. It was one of their mothers. And so we led these boys to receive Jesus, and it turns out that a passing truck had shot at them from another reservation. And that weekend, they were getting together to retaliate, and we're getting guns together, and we're going to go shoot the other guys. And I showed up the weekend that happened, and God stopped them. How's that? All from my prayer. And I got to go down the street to Leonce's house, and his father just left their family, and held hands with his mother and all these kids in their house in the Indian reservation, a white guy in their houses, right? And pray, and we just felt the Holy Spirit just fall in that room. It was so sweet. And God answered my prayer. So I did hear from him. It was really God. And so, these, you know, God will speak to us. Look at your neighbor and go, that's a crazy story. Seriously, but it happened. And, you know, I just had so many things happen in my life that were so key. You know, like the time I told you when I was Kalihi, and the Lord said, go speak to those kids over there. And I went over and led them to the Lord. Just simple promptings of His voice that will speak to you to let you know that somebody's ready to hear about Him. It makes life an adventure, right? It makes life an adventure, especially when you're driving the Jesus truck, Joe. You'll have to talk about that next Sunday. So, key times in my life, like when we were getting married. I mean, God had spoken to my wife, and at that time we weren't even together. We had met. And then when we did court, I said, Lord, well, what about Elena? Should I marry Elena? And I felt like He spoke to my heart and said, I've prepared her for you. And it's so true. Because I married up big time. Because she has everything I don't, right? She definitely prepared. She was prepared for me. The peanut butter and jelly, the taco and the pico de gallo, you know, it's complete. And It's been so key for my life to listen to His voice, be willing to hear from the Lord. The school that I'm working in right now, I've told you all this before, but I'm just going through all these just to kind of make my point. You know, I was kind of burnt on teaching middle school after 20 years. Come on now, sixth graders. Just pray for me. I got one more week, you know. And they are so loose right now. I have to just stand and hover over them. But anyway, and I thought, well, maybe elementary. And I was trying different schools and interviewing. And I got into an elementary class. There's this thing called Treasures that lasts forever. It's like English all day. And you never get any different kids and you don't have a break. And I don't know, I have to go back to middle school, but I wasn't sure. And there was an interview open to me, and I'd already interviewed at the school and they told me no. And downtown called me and said, you know, why don't you go back to Johnny Cochran? I said, well, they already told me no, Lewis, you should go again. And so I was in the shower and I was praying. I said, Lord, what should I do? Elementary, middle school. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, I've got the interview. Okay. All right. So I go to interview, and they just hired a new principal that week. And he was my old coworker in Gardena at Perry Middle School. He was my friend, and he was the new principal. And it was like amazing. And he looked at me and he said, you're the same Ross Russell I've always known, right? And I said, yeah. He said, I want to hire you immediately. I'm all, yes, thank you, Jesus. And it was so clear it was God. And ever since, I've had a Bible club in my classroom now for 5 years, and it's a culture that allows me to be me. It's a teacher culture in LAUSD that allows me to be a believer, and they don't give me a hard time. It's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. Every Wednesday you hear on the announcements for a block around the school, it's Wednesday, you know what that means, it's Bible club in room 502. Come join the fun. See Mr. Russell for more information. And everybody can hear it for like a block around the school. I say, when does that happen? It wouldn't happen at MiraCosta. I'm just so thankful. God clearly has sent me to this school, and I'm with these needy, needy kids. Sometimes I just... Sometimes I just sit at my desk and cry. The other day, Travion, y'all have heard about Travion? Well, his mother came to school, and he was doing all this stuff in class, and his mother came to my room, and he said, Mr. Russell's lying, I promise. He does this to every parent that comes in. He totally lies to all the parents. And she looked at him like, no. I looked at her, I said, you know what? Shaquia, I think her name's Shaquia. I said, I pray for your son by name every morning. I'm here because I care for him. And she just took him outside and gave him lip all the way to the office. And he just kept denying it the whole way. No, I promise you. He's like, I'm sorry. In my phone, I have like 30 lines in my notes of all of his stuff he's been doing. I record it all to cover my bases. But I believe God has sent me. Years ago, someone spoke to me and said, I see you as going and leading sheep out of the rubble. So, that's what I do for a living. You know, because I listen to God. And this church here, I was in the church at the Bridge in El Segundo. I was an associate pastor there. And it was really a struggle. I struggled all week of whether to resign from there and start this 2 years ago. And I went over to the beach at Grand. And I just said, Lord, what do I do? You know, I just want to do the right thing. I want to be free, you know. And I felt like the Lord said, Ross, I've prepared you for this. And here we are 2 years later, right? And I had to trust His voice speaking to me. It takes faith to believe. You know, it takes faith. We have to be in total dependence on God to do this. To listen to God and make sure we're on the right path. He speaks in an unusual way. It's important to listen and discern whether it's just you talking. And how do we do that? By seeing if it matches Scripture. Is it matching other things that God's doing in your life? The way people are speaking to you, coming to you. If there's any doubts that you're really hearing from Him, pray again. Don't just do it once. Keep asking. Keep asking. Remember, I think He wants us to know more than we ever even want to hear. Because inside we're a little scared to be totally surrendered, aren't we? And do everything He would want us to do, because it might be a little scary out there. You know, He might send us to Africa. Like, I'm leaving on Monday, you know. But I'm really excited about it, because there's people there that want to hear about Jesus. Check and see if it agrees with Scripture. Also, check your heart. If you've been cherishing sin, it says in Psalm 66:18, it will hinder our prayers. So if my mind has been going the wrong place in my eyes and I'm cherishing sin, I'm enjoying a sinful thought or sinful moment, I have to stop myself, because the Scripture says that will hinder my prayers and hinder my ability to hear Him. I heard a story about a cowboy that was riding on his horse with his wife, and a police officer pulled him over and said, "Did you know that your wife fell off the horse way back down the road?" He said, "Oh man, thank God, I thought I was deaf." maybe we need to go back down the road and get right with God first, right? And then we'll be able to hear Him better, right? And then we'll hear Him better. So here's three steps to hearing God. Number one, take Christ's authority to silence the enemy. This is one thing it taught me when I was a missionary with YWAM. I say, "Lord, I pray You'll silence the spirits of the air, the demons, the voices that come against God. Lord, silence the spirits of the air so I can hear You only." That's the first step. Second step, in your notes, ask the Lord to clear your minds of any presumptions and preconceived ideas. I think I left the word "of" out there. But you need to come to Him with an open mind, as long as it agrees with Scripture, and not come with a presumption or presuppositions that will prevent you from hearing Him fully. "Lord, whatever You want to speak to me, I want to hear. I want to hear You. I'm not coming with any conditions." And then thirdly, wait and believe God will speak in the way and in the time He chooses. Let Him do it how He wants to do it. Remember, He used a donkey in the Old Testament. He spoke to my wife audibly in her Isuzu Jeep. It might be something totally different. Hearing God's voice is all about getting to know Him better, just spending time with Him, recognizing what He would say to you, recognizing that, yes, that's what He would want to say to me. That matches His character. That matches the God of the Bible that I've got to know. There's a song. We went to a concert on Monday in Santa Barbara. This girl, Allie Page, sang this song. "Lord, I'm learning to trust You because You're showing me that You're always faithful." And I just keep having those lyrics in my head. "I'm learning to trust You because you always show that You're faithful." And that's God's character. As you spend time with Him, you'll learn His character. And we need to also put our dreams on the altar, because they might be resurrected into something grander, like I did with my surfing. Be willing to have Him say, "You know what? Maybe you should put the guitar up for a little while." You know, a lot of times God is checking our motives. Why do you want to do what you want to do? Why do you want to preach? Is it because you want people to laugh at the jokes? Well, I hope they laugh, but that's not why I'm here. I just do that to make it more fun. But why do we do what we do? Why do we share Christ? Is it really because we care for them, or because we want to put another sticker on our fuselage and say, "I got another convert," you know, right? So, you need to let God show you your motives. And we shouldn't make it complicated, because God is just always, He's there. He wants to speak to us. All we have to do is listen and expect that He wants to answer that. Be expectant. I want to tell one last story. It's 9:58. And I've found this online and I heard it before. Maybe you've heard it before, but it's a good story. A young man had been to Tuesday night Bible study. The pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying the Lord. The young man couldn't help but wonder, does God still speak to people? After service, he went out with some friends for coffee and pie, and they discussed the message. Several of the people talked about how God had led them in different ways. It was about 10 o'clock when the young man started driving home. Sitting in his car, he just began to pray, God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I will listen and I will do my best to obey. As he drove down the main street of his town, he had a strange thought. Stop and buy a gallon of milk. He shook his head and said out loud, God, is that you? Is that really you, God? He didn't get a reply and started on toward home, but again the thought, buy a gallon of milk. The young man thought of Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God and how little Samuel ran to Eli. Okay, God, in case that's you, I'll buy the milk. It didn't seem like too hard a test of obedience. Besides, he could always use the milk. He stopped and purchased a gallon of milk and started off toward home. As he drove past 7th Street, he felt a strange urge. Turn down the street. This is crazy, he thought, and drove on by the intersection. Again, he felt that he should turn down 7th Street. At the next intersection, he turned around and headed down 7th Street. Half jokingly, he said out loud, okay, God, I will. He drove several blocks, then suddenly he felt like he should stop. He pulled over to the curb and looked around. He was in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst in neighborhoods either. The businesses were closed and most of the houses looked dark, like the people were already in bed. Again, he sensed something. Go and give the milk to the people in the house across the street. So, I mean, this is a faith walk, isn't it, right? The young man looked at the house. It was dark, and it looked like the people were gone or already asleep. He started to open the car door and then sat back in the car seat. Lord, this is crazy. You ever had that thought? The people are probably asleep, and if I wake them up, they're going to be mad, and I'll just look stupid. Again, he felt he should take the milk to the house. Finally, he opened the car door. Okay, God, if this is your will, I'll take the milk to the house. Even if I end up looking like a stupid fool, I want to be obedient. But if they don't answer right away, I'm out of here. He walked across the street and rang the bell. He could hear some noise inside. A man's voice yelled out, who is it? What do you want? Then the door opened before the nervous young man could run away. The man was standing there in his jeans and a t-shirt. He had a strange look on his face and didn't seem happy to have a stranger at his door. What is it? The young man handed him the milk. The man took the milk and rushed down a hallway speaking loudly in Spanish. Then from down the hall came a woman carrying the milk, headed towards the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a baby. The baby was crying. The man had tears streaming down his face. While half crying, the man said, we were just praying. My wife has no milk, and we had some big bills this month, so we ran out of money to buy milk for the baby. I was just praying and asking God to show me how to get some milk. His wife in the kitchen yelled out, I asked him to send an angel with some milk. Are you an angel? The young man reached for his wallet and gave the man a few dollars, all he had. As the young man turned and walked back toward his car, tears were streaming down his face. God still answers prayers. Yes, and God talks to us too. Are you listening?